Notebook on Cities and Cultures Korea Tour is brought to you by Daniel Murphy, David Hayes, and Polar Inertia Journal, an outlet for artists and researchers documenting the urban condition at polarinertia.com. What was your first experience of a Korean city?
My first experience was Ilsan, like a little bit north of Seoul. It was the first time I arrived in Korea, was 2008. And then my girlfriend, she picked me up from the airport and we drove up to Ilsan. And there's like some kind of central lake, which was just opened that day or like a day or a week before, and it was completely new, brand
everything. They just built that lake.
Yeah, that lake. It was like artificial lake. And it was really nice and I loved it. It was some kind of festival going on, so like I also first contact to festival culture in Korea. And yeah, it was really nice, new development.
It was your first contact with festival culture, but also development culture.
Yeah.
Looking at that lake they made, what did you think about it? Like, did it seem like something you hadn't seen before?
It was really huge, and then, because I didn't know anything about Korea at this time, so I was like, well, where am I at all, and like, what's Ilsan at all? The environment was very nice, and I felt very comfortable to be there.
It is the kind of project you might read about on the site that my guest today writes for. The site is called Kojex. It's about Korean development projects, not just in Seoul, but as we say, in cities all over the country, even ones distant from Seoul. His name is Nicolas Medimonek, and by the way, I'm Colin Marshall. This is Notebook on Cities and Culture. Tell me, from that moment, how long from that moment did you know you would want to explore Korea more, to see its cities more? What made you decide that these were interesting cities in Korea?
Everything from the first moment on, and then my first ride on a subway in Seoul, the first time in the bus in Seoul, it was everything very, really exciting. Like, I'm from a very small city in Germany, and at this time, I traveled a lot around Europe, but it was just my first time in Asia in 2008, so I wanted to explore a lot. And then also this time my girlfriend, she showed me around Korea, not only like Seoul, but many other places.
And she's from Korea herself, so she knows it well.
Yeah, she knows really well. And then I think this 50 days I stayed the first time here, explored like almost half of Korea. It was like every day traveling around, going to another place, going also south to Busan and some other. Oh, Busan was like next year, but like Gwangju-do and like other. Well, Jeju-do, the island, biggest island in Korea. It's just so many interesting things.
You mentioned the buses and the subways that you took that were exciting initially. It really is striking, isn't it, coming from Europe or coming from North America, the way that transit is in Asia, right? What is so impressive about the transit?
First of all, it's very efficient, fast, clean, especially in Seoul, it's very convenient. Very, just mentioned safe. It's very safe. This time when I, they were just about to install all screen doors in this all platforms in Seoul. So I experienced like this old, like before, without screen doors and with screen doors. And then
we should explain what those are. There's glass walls in front of the subway trains. Like between the platform and the train, there's a glass wall with doors that automatically open, lining up perfectly with the train's doors. We don't have that in America.
Yeah, it was like the main reason was because there have been a lot of suicides.
Right, now you can't jump.
Yep. Now they jump on the rivers.
But yes, of course.
This time is to prevent like the suicides, but also there's like a lot of other positive things like better air quality, because like this, you have closed up system, it's not connected to the tunnels, which usually bring like some kind of smell or like dirty air.
Right.
And it feels more really clean just to have like the screen doors which separate the tracks and the dark tunnels from the platforms.
Right, it does. I can't wait till Los Angeles, the subway can get those screen doors. But it makes the environment better down in the subway, on the subway platforms, in the whole stations. And I remember reading on Kojex, you had a conversation in the comments with somebody you were explaining this to them about the fact that it's not just about suicides, but it's about the environment. When did you begin writing for Kojex? How did you start writing for Kojex, the site on Korean urban development?
That's also a long story.
It's fine, we have time.
We have time. After my first visit in Korea, then I started university in Germany, and my major was geography at that time. And I started a blog to write about all my travelings and my experience I made, like abroad. And then it slowly then developed from a travel blog to a blog about geography, because like this was the main interest in what I was dealing with every day.
Were you already interested in cities, like urban development?
Yeah, this also then came through studies and like, it also sounds a little bit stupid, but originally like the whole reason why I chose geography to study was like, I want to know why is something there, you know, why right. is it this place, why is a gas station at the edge of the city, or why is a school there and something
yes,
like
that. Basic question, from there you explored.
Yeah, from this basic question then I explored, I wrote, my first blog was in German, and then like in 2008, and then I wrote like, until today I still write like sometimes in there, and then for example, like one of the most famous series I wrote in this German blog was about KTX stations.
Yes.
I was making KTX stations, and then...
KTX is the train that goes across the whole country fast.
Yep, the high-speed train of Korea.
Their bullet train, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. And I went to every station, not only for the purpose to visit the station, just besides traveled around this area, for example, and then I visited the station also, where I took the KTX from there. And then I took a lot of pictures of the station, then I showed it on my blog. Mm. And then also later I wrote about the Incheon International Airport and the new terminal, the second terminal, which is going to open maybe in some 4 or 5 years from now on. And this blog post was read by Andy, mm-hmm. who was the founder of Kojax. I think you found it in 2010. And he translated this German blog post into English, and then he used this information from my blog post for his blog post about the new terminal in international.
So he found your German blog.
Yeah.
He read it about Korea, and then he used it on his blog about Korea. And he's from New Zealand, right? He's not actually German.
Yes, he's from New Zealand, and he lived for many years in Korea. And last year he moved back then to New Zealand after living for 6 or 7 years here.
So now Kojax is mostly your writing.
Yeah. Yeah, like he contacted me shortly after this blog post about Incheon International Airport, and then we met in 2012, I think. Yeah, and kept contact since then. And then I think I joined him in 2013 to write with him on Kojax. He said he came up with this idea too. Let's write together on this one, on Kojax. And first, I was not so sure if I can do it, like...
Because you have to write in English and everything.
Yep, like these things. And also, like, I envied his quality of writing, so he was really high-quality stuff there, and I was not sure if I can keep up with this, and then maybe readers will hate my writing, or will, like, say, no, it's, like, not what Kojax is about anymore, or something. So I was not sure to join. Like, it took me like two or 3 weeks to think about it.
Right. But you have joined, and now that you're there writing regularly, what are your favorite types of development projects to write about on Kojax? What are some of the things you most enjoy covering on Kojax in terms of whether it's in Seoul or outside, whether it's transit or buildings or floating islands like we're on right now? What do you like to write about most?
I like to write most about bicycle infrastructure.
Right. We biked here, so yes, that's a good example. Why bicycle infrastructure?
Because that's like still in development in Korea, and they're doing a lot of great things here, but also a lot of things wrong. Mm. So I like to show this to other people living here in Korea or like other international readers also and just what kind of development, or what kind of like career-branded bike infrastructure they're building up here.
Mm. Now, how recently did all this bike infrastructure appear? I've talked to foreigners who've lived here 20 years, 30 years, and they say when they got here, if you suggested to them to ride a bicycle in Seoul, they'd say, no way, I'm not suicidal. Mm. Now it's possible. When did that become possible?
Cycling was long time the forgotten mode of transport in Korea. And like, we cycled here along the Han River Park, which was built back around 2004. Like this It was called the Han River Renaissance Project. And this time they then started to build up this bike infrastructure, and it was upgraded over the years. And you still, we saw like a lot of upgrades are done now. They, with the Four River projects, like this nationwide Four River project, they made a, also bike network, which began in, when was this? 2008 or 2010 maybe, I don't know, like around, it was not a long time ago, so it's still like, I think it's quite young.
Now how does it compare to the cycling you've done in Germany, for example, when you're in the cities in Germany? How is their cycling infrastructure in comparison to Seoul's?
In Germany, it's like about, you cycle to get from point A to B, for example, on the way to school or on the way to your job, to your company or something. But in Korea, it's mainly about leisure. You cycle for leisure. Like also, we saw a lot of people are just like, they're like all fitted in their sportswear, and then they're about to cycle. They look like they're cycling 200 kilometers an hour in 2 hours or something.
It's funny, have you noticed some of those guys in the full gear? They're old men who have radios playing their favorite Korean songs from the 1960s and 1970s, very old sounding music, never on an earphone, always on the radio. Have you seen these guys?
Yeah. They're really enjoying it. Like they love it to cycle, and it's kind of some kind of sports for them to stay fit.
Right. It's interesting. It does seem there's even more older people than younger people cycling here in Korea. Do you sense that as well? Do you see that?
Maybe it's now because we are cycling on a weekday. On weekends, there's like a lot of couples and young people cycling on this path. But yeah, older people have more time, so also they're enjoying this cycle path on, during the weekdays.
Right. The old people here in Seoul do get out. I mean, if you ride that line 1 on the subway, it's filled with them early in the morning. I guess they ride for free, but they're making good use of their resources here, aren't they?
Yeah, that's also like what you mentioned. This, they're using public transport for free, so if they're, up to 65 or age of 70.
Past 65, 70.
You are allowed to use it for free. And then instead of being at home where you don't have an air conditioner or something, then you cycle then you use the public transport and enjoy the cold wagon inside.
Yes, indeed. It is air conditioned in there, which is one of the many nice things about the subway in Seoul. But you don't just ride on Kojaks, you're also a graduate student here in Seoul at Seoul National University. How did you decide to study here at this very famous school?
Back in 2011, I've done an internship at the Korea Transport Institute, and it was still 1 year left for my undergrad in Germany, but I always started to like ask people, and especially as Koreans, what they suggest me, like what they recommend me to do after my undergrad in Germany.
Because you wanted to come to Korea.
I also told them like my long-term goal was to live in Korea and also maybe to find a job here in Korea. So they recommend me then really to specialize on Korea, you should study here and then do a master's, of course.
So you said, okay, I'll study in Korea.
And then I asked them where. the first answer is always SNU, Seoul National University.
That's always the first choice.
Yeah, it's like really high reputation and everything. I asked around what kind of departments do they have, and then is the quality of studying, or like the grad school, is it okay? And I found out they have a grad school of geography, which has like a lot of professors, a lot of staff, and a small number of students, so like perfect environment to study. And so I decided, yes, I would try and then apply for it.
And now when you got here and started studying, I mean, these classes are either in English or Korean, neither of which are your first language. So what was it like to plunge right into this environment of a great deal of study, but in these two other languages, in these two foreign languages, essentially? I mean, people can hear that you speak English, but how was studying in Korean at the start?
Very difficult, because like directly the first class was a statistics class in Korean, and I was like, I wasn't really good at statistics in Germany already. Like in undergrad, was like just I passed the test and everything, but now to have this class in Korean and then to learn about multi-analysis, I don't know, like multi-layered analysis and then cluster analysis in Korean, it was killing me. Like, first semester was very tiring, very exhausting, very difficult. But yeah, it was fun. My colleagues, they helped me a lot. And the professors also, they understood like that I'm not able to keep up in Korean with everything, so they allowed me also like to do my presentations in English or to do my term papers in English, for example. And they have been very good with me. Yeah.
How do you balance between studies and writing on Kojaks? Obviously, the subjects are related that you're studying and that you're writing about, but how much of your time does each thing take?
Kojaks takes too much time.
Really? Why does it take so much time?
I know, I got... For example, I research... For example, first year I had to think about like possible thesis topic.
Yeah.
So this means like I have to read a lot about different developments going on in Korea or different developments going on in the world in terms of transport. And then I got hooked up on a project and then I can't forget it anymore. So I thought, oh, it's so interesting, I should write about it. I should like read a little bit more. And then I start, you know, to not only to read about it, to write about it on Kojaks, I start to go there, usually.
What's an example of a project that has done this to you?
The main project which has done bad to me was the Ecomobility Festival.
Oh, yes, the Ecomobility
in Suwon, right?
In Suwon, yeah. Because I also live in Suwon, so it was not like too far. And it's just a 20-minute bus ride.
Right.
And I've been there maybe like 4 or 5 times. Right. And also I was like a social reporter then for them. And I wrote for their website during the festival period. And it was took a lot of time. It was really nice to learn about this car-free area, which was done during September 2013, there in Suwon. And yeah, it was, and also like, I decided to do my thesis about this topic, which was a wrong choice. So I'm now ending up to write a new thesis about a new topic. And
have you decided on the new topic yet?
The new topic is going to be about like urban mobility in Korean cities and trying to create a new index, how to like analyze, to grasp this kind of special environment of special like transport here, what you have in Korea, and to analyze it and to compare the different cities, you know, put them into like groups, automobile dependent cities or like a little more bicycle friendly cities if they exist. Like Changwon is a bicycle friendly city, but besides that, and characters are more of them.
Of course, on this show, listeners will hear an interview in Changwon with Kobe Zeifman, who's very much involved in their bike sharing system. But tell me, I mean, of course, Seoul is interesting because it's huge and so much is here. But what other cities besides Seoul are interesting to you in Korea?
In terms of the urban development? Or
yeah, or I mean, in any sense, but which ones do you find yourself thinking and writing about the most?
Of course, I write most about Seoul.
Right. But outside of Seoul?
Outside of Seoul, Incheon is very interesting because it's also very... They're very proactive in kinds of urban development. They try to gain a lot of like foreign FDI, foreign direct investments, a lot of like international companies with, for example, Songdo. I don't know if you're going there, but...
Yeah, I'm going to be going there and writing about it myself a little bit later in this trip. And yeah, it's a new built city full of skyscrapers, and it's still a little bit on the empty side, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like very... It's also kind of new project, and then it, of course, like a city from scratch takes some time to build it up, and then you cannot expect that people are like go out on the streets there and like populate it within 6 months or something. It will take some 5 or 6 years really to be successful, to see the success of Songdo, or the failure.
Yeah. Which one do you think it will be, a success?
I think it's going to be a success, more or less.
Why are you optimistic about it?
Because they put very high standards to the buildings and to the whole urban development, the whole urban like city plan of Songdo. It's a very good master plan, to say it in a way.
Well, what impresses you when you're walking around Songdo? What do you see that makes you think it's well designed?
The buildings, like each building has very special design and nice architecture. They have also like a nice park, which is called Central Park, a little bit similar like New York.
Sure.
But besides that, it also has like two subway stations. The bike infrastructure exists, but it could be a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And also like good bus connections to Seoul and Incheon. The only problem is like it's really far away from from Incheon and from Seoul.
It's not near anything, really.
It's close to the Incheon International Airport, but right. it's like, I don't know, like how many people are really just like living in Songdo, traveling to Incheon and then, you know, getting to work somewhere else and then getting every day back to Songdo. It's like, it's for this kind of people made, but it's not like a huge kind of people. Many people are not doing this.
Right, it's not a big population who use that exactly as the way they would have planned. And Songdo is a good example of a controversial project, in a sense. And there's others. You recently wrote on Kojax as well about the Dongdaemun Design Plaza. So what is that?
The Dongdaemun Design Plaza was designed by Zaha Hadid.
Zaha Hadid?
I'm also not sure. She's a very well-known architect from the UK, who designed many, many buildings around the whole world. I won't say great buildings, but also I'm not sure. Like also, I like the title of my blog post was "Amazing Dongdaemun Design Plaza," because I was really amazed by this whole structure. It's nice. The design is unbelievable.
Right.
It looks like a spaceship landed in the center of Seoul,
right.
And it also was very controversial in some ways because it's so huge. It took a lot of money. It displaced many people, and then. Many former promises, which the former government made, some promises haven't been broken.
Promises made to the people displaced by it, who were, you know, running flea markets and such in a baseball stadium they tore down?
Who've been, like, displaced two or three times in the last 10 years. So it's, like, some kind of controversy. And then, but also, like, if you have a like, large-scale project, people will get displaced, and there were, like, many critics to this. So, and then if you relate to other projects, still kind of evaluated like a good project.
Right. It was a project of the previous mayor of Seoul, right? But then the current mayor doesn't like it. But the current mayor doesn't like any large projects, does he?
Yeah, he doesn't like any large projects. Like, he doesn't like this floating islands.
That we're sitting on right now, this Seoul floating island?
Yeah. Mm. And also, like, right before the opening, he said, for the opening of the Dongdaemun Design Plaza, he said it's ugly and it doesn't fit into the surrounding area. But I don't really totally agree with him. Like, I don't know anything that would really fit inside Dongdaemun Design, Dongdaemun area.
Right. And what would have been suitable,
Like, also the baseball stadium and the soccer stadium wasn't really suitable anymore. Mm. So something, it had to be replaced by something new.
Mm.
And maybe it was just the thing that you take some kind of, like, it was a design competition, and then many different designs have been proposed for this environment, and I don't know, like, this from the side that she was maybe one of the best ones, I think, which fitted the most. And then it's not easy, like, really to judge afterwards.
It's true. And there's also another. This project has been around longer, so it's less controversial now, but the Cheonggyecheon stream, which was built, it's a stream you can walk along now, which used to be an elevated roadway. And on walking on it myself, it seemed like it was clearly a good idea, because it's really popular. It's a pleasant place to walk, and you can walk a long time on it, and obviously it looks better than the old road, which they have pictures of along the walls of the stream. But why was that controversial?
Not only it was, it still is controversial for many reasons. First of all, a lot of like street vendors and shops have been along the Cheonggyecheon Road at that time. And it was also like in connection with the Dongdaemun Design Plaza, they've been displaced from the Cheonggyecheon, and they've been promised to get a new place or like new shops at Dongdaemun. And then later the Dongdaemun Design Plaza came up, and then again they've been displaced to another area where nobody will end up or nobody will go to, like, as a buyer.
Right.
And then it was really like, good thing was about the Cheonggyecheon, they tore down the urban roadway, speedway, and made like an urban space out of it, like really with a public space, with a high quality of just to be there and then to relax. Also, it has like some kind, it improved the climate, urban climate in the center of Seoul. But on the other side, it, where does the water come from? You have to ask, you know.
Yes, of course.
The water is going to pump from the Han River, like, it, which is like, we are now at the Han River, and the Cheonggyecheon is maybe like 5 kilometers away from the Han River. So it's, it takes a lot of energy, it's really expensive to pump.
Right. You have to get the water there.
All these tons of water from the Han River up to the Cheonggyecheon.
Right.
So it's a very expensive project to maintain, and the maintenance costs are really, really high. Mm. That's the biggest controversy about this.
But to you personally, does it seem worth it?
It's worth, yeah. Mm. I would have liked that they closed up these two roads next, besides this Cheonggyecheon, and they made like some kind of pedestrian zone, or like or allowed only for public transport.
Right.
They even some plans to extend this kind of Cheonggyecheon to, because now it feels like if you're inside this Cheonggyecheon, it was like before 2012 or 2013, it wasn't easy to get out of there, you know. Mm. Once you enter this or go down to the stream,
right,
you enjoy it, but then you say, okay, I want to go out, you want to take the next bus, then, oh, where's the next exit, where the next stairs to go up, and it was, but they,
it's like a subway tunnel, you have to wait until the next exit.
It's like a, it's like a tunnel, you feel very like claustrophobic a little bit in some kind of sense, and but they added more entrances.
Yeah.
And it got better, but still, like, I would say, see like some kind of gradual, you know, entry to the area where you have like stairs, like here, you know, some kind of shore where you can just slowly walk down to the Han River. We don't have like this huge walls separating it from the other, other streets, other parts of the center.
Because if the rain starts falling, you have to get out of there. They say, the signs say, if it's raining, you have to leave. So there's also that element of like, what if this happens? I have to find the exit. I have to start moving quickly. It can be a little bit anxious, can't it?
Yeah, it's. I saw pictures like of people trapped there, and then the firefighters had to like rescue them there out there. It can be quite dangerous, but of course then they close it if they know it's going to rain, and they close it up early, and then don't allow anyone to go down there.
Now with these projects, of course, it is always controversial when vendors get displaced, because Seoul historically has had many street vendors, and it's still one of my favorite things about Seoul, especially the amount of street food you can buy and eat right there. And so while I like these projects myself, it's still, I wish they could coexist, both that you could have both the Cheonggyecheon stream but also a lot of street vendors near it, you know. And it seems possible, but I wonder, you wrote recently about a transit mall in Sincheon, a very popular university area, a pretty good neighborhood, it seems like. This transit mall, they closed it off to cars and made it mostly pedestrian with some forms of transit as well. And one of the questions you had in the post, I believe, on Kojex was, you wonder if they can keep the sort of street vendor presence. Do you think, are you optimistic about them, about Seoul being able to bring its street vendors back into these areas where there have been projects built, or to maintain a presence of business, of commerce on the street?
I'm not very optimistic about this, because like Seoul made a decision back in 2005, 2006, when Lee Myung-bak, the former was president of Korea, who was then the mayor of Seoul, he made more or less the decision, I don't want any street vendors. I don't want any pochang matcha, like this street, like this tents for...
I like those. I like those
too. I don't want any one of them anymore on the streets of Seoul. So he made like, he cleaned all of them, or like most of them. And since then, the number is decreasing, and they're like, you see sometimes in the news, there are like, of measures where they clean areas with more like thugs are coming, which are paid by the government, and then clean up these areas. So in the long term, the street vendors are going to disappear. They're maybe going to be replaced by some organized stalls, like what you, in Sincheon you can see, like they put up permanent stalls for some of them, but it's not like the original character anymore. It's loses a lot of culture, about street culture.
Right.
And it's like not a nice, I mean, it's really nice to go there and then to eat on the street something, but this is getting lost over the next years, I think.
Has that changed a lot since you first came to Korea? Does the feeling of Has the feeling of life on the street changed for good or for bad much since you first came?
The first time I came, I was surprised about like this, how much people are on the streets, you know,
right.
How like Gangnam is so full with people, and still it is like before, but then the purpose of what the people are doing there, or like what kind of the purpose of why they visit this area changed, of course. Also I remember like in 2008 I enjoyed like this Pochang Matcha at night, and then it was like after dinner or a bar, this was like one of the last places to go to enjoy like some kind of really Korean style of eating and drinking. And yeah, this was replaced, and you have to go to another bar, or just that means it's more expensive than before.
Right.
Yeah. Where do you go when you want to go to a Pochang Matcha today? There are still places, but what neighborhood do you have to go to when you really want to go to one of these, experience the Korean way of eating and drinking?
Yeah, that's only the problem, like, that you have to go to a place to find the Pochang Matcha.
Yeah,
you know?
Usually they used to be everywhere.
Yeah, they used to be everywhere. You just, you know, you said, for example, like, it was like 2 a.m. at night, and then you said like, oh, I will go home, and oh, you stumble across Pochang Matcha, oh, let's go one more drink. But now you have to search for this place, and that's like really sad. And then also, I don't know, like, to be honest, like, I cannot recommend, like, Yongsan has still a Pochang Matcha, but they will also disappear in the next year, I think, as soon as they build up something there. You still have to know where to find them now. It's a big problem.
In any case, do you think the experience of sort of the experience of urban social life in Korea is very different from the experience of urban social life you would have in Germany? Just sort of the way you use a city when you're going out to have fun?
Yeah, it's completely different. Like, in general, German culture is a little bit more domestic culture. You spend more time at home, but also if you meet friends, you go to a house party at their places, or you go to a bar, which is like then just for drinking. But in Korea, going out, culture of going out, or like on weekends, is you go also to a place to eat somewhere and then drink at the same time there, and then go again to a place to eat and
keep going, keep going, all night.
Keep going eating and drinking the whole time. But also like now you have also like a lot of bars and clubs and stuff is expanding. And I think like if you go to Hongdae or like this area, you also can enjoy like just being outside and drinking outside.
Right, yeah.
Which was also not possible like many long time ago in Korea, or which is not possible like in many places in other parts of Korea or other parts of Seoul.
And coming from America, it's really surprising to be able to drink outside, because there you can't, there's mostly, if you're outdoors, you can't drink at all.
In Germany, we have like also this culture of drinking outside, and because like a bar is quite expensive, so just, you know, go to convenience, we don't have even convenience stores, but go to a gas station, go to a supermarket, buy some beers, and go to...
You don't have convenience stores in Germany?
No, we don't have convenience stores
really?
In Germany. Huh. So it's more about like going to a supermarket, going to Aldi, if somebody of your listeners know Aldi. It's a great supermarket. And get some beer there and enjoy like a park. Which is something, for example, you're surprised when you come to Korea, you won't find many public parks. And but still it's very green. You have a lot of trees along the streets. And it's still different in some kind of, like, the public space are different than in Europe.
What do your friends think, friends from Germany or friends from Europe, if they come to visit here in Seoul, what do they think of it?
Oh, they enjoy it. They're really surprised by this high technology, and then by this really developed public transport, but also, like, developed culture here. And this urban spaces are great. Yeah.
Right,
and
it's interesting to me here that the street life, the life of the city, it doesn't stop when you go down into the subway stations either. It seems like there's no real border. You can still shop, you can still even sometimes drink down in the subway stations. It's like there's a smooth flow of life between the subway and the street. Does that happen in Germany as well, in your experience? Is it, or in Los Angeles, I feel like everything stops once you go down into the station.
In Germany, we don't have like a lot of metro systems, and usually it's, if they're underground, then it's really just about the metro, and nothing else is there. And then I think Korea, it's mainly because of this high density and the space, this missing space, or like lack of space that you have. So a lot of things like shopping, underground shopping centers, and underground coffee shops are even like in the subway stations and stuff like this. Also like because of this high density of them, like missing space.
Do you think there's anything that Seoul or other Korean cities can learn from European urban development, things in Europe, qualities of European cities that you like, that you think could be brought to Seoul?
Seoul is really great in making a very, very convenient transport system with throughout the use of high technology like smartphones and their real-time information system for the buses and subways. But what the European cities do better is the basics, some kind of like, I mean, bicycles, especially like bicycle networks are much, much, much better in Europe. And in this pedestrian zones are also like better in Europe. So this is what something that Seoul or Korean cities can learn from Europe.
What are the projects going on now in Seoul or coming up in the near future that excite you the most, that you feel like are going to make the biggest improvement in life here? And are they all cycling related, or are they a variety of projects you think will be worthwhile?
I think Korea is now done with this large-scale projects. There won't be many large-scale projects in the future, but a lot of improvements of neighborhoods. Many like really small area, small like scale area, small scale projects.
Is this like the Sinchon Transit Mall, that kind of thing?
Yes, like this kind of things are going to be replicated throughout Korea, and you will see much more of these small things where streets are getting more prettier, or where they will just increase the living quality in many small areas.
Do you think most people in Seoul have a high quality of life or not?
The gap between rich and poor is quite large here in Korea. So it's, of course, there's an upper class, middle class, and lower class here. But yeah, still a lot of people like living in not very suitable conditions, which have to be improved. Like especially living conditions could be made better in terms of like larger apartments, better, and also like a little bit newer apartments for middle class or like the lower middle class. And then also what you don't see here when you first come to Korea is like is the these like ghettos or some kind of shadow towns, but they exist and they're on the edge of the town, and it's different than, for example, than like some kind of low poor housing in America or in Europe. But still, it has to be improved, and some has to be taken care of, like to improve their living standards.
It's interesting you mentioned living spaces. You pointed out earlier on our bike ride a set of apartment buildings that was 25 years old and one that was less than 5 years old, and they did look quite different. And it's interesting that in Korea, especially Seoul, they consider an apartment building that's 25 years old to be old. That's different than Europe, right?
It's totally different than Europe, yeah. Usually, nowadays in Europe, like the buildings which have been built during the early 20th century are now the most famous place, the most popular place to live in.
So the older the better, in a way.
Yeah, but the older the better, because they have like some kind of special character. But in Korea, they haven't, these apartment buildings are like, all buildings haven't been built for the long term. They are here to be replaced within 20 or 30 years. So like what I showed you, this 25-year-old apartment will be redeveloped in the next two or three years to a new apartment complex.
So it's not in very good condition anymore, this 25-year-old building?
Yeah, it's not in very good condition. And because of this, like, potential for redevelopment, the prices are very high, so it's not like somehow this prices for living or like the price of this to buy these apartments and the quality or like the what kind of standard they give you is totally unsuitable and proportional.
So for this reason then, the landscape of Seoul changes very quickly. More buildings are coming down than even come up. I mean, you showed me as well this near those apartments was the building in progress of the next tallest building in Korea. What is that building?
That's a new Lotte World Tower. It's called like Lotte World Tower 2. A very creative name. yeah, like Lotte is one of the largest companies in Korea. It's not very famous outside of Korea, but it owns also like supermarket chains and like a lot of coffee shops. I don't know, like a lot of different businesses are they involved in. And they're building like this new phallus symbol to show the kind of how much power they have in
sure.
not only in Korea but especially in Seoul and especially in Songpa-gu in this district there.
Now, do tall skyscrapers like that interest you as projects, or are they just simply that, simply tall buildings?
They are simply a lot of waste of money, and I like. Maybe it's because I'm German, but we don't like really high buildings. We don't see the sense behind this kind of why you build like this high buildings. And
right.
Yeah, like I said, it's like mainly to show off like how much, not only how much they have money, but also like what kind of technology they have to build. You know,
right.
They will complete this building and later then show it to investors in Saudi Arabia or East or like other parts of Asia. And then say, look, we build up this here. If you want, we can build this up for you anywhere in the world, and even taller.
So it's more of a demonstration of their abilities than an actual building they've considered thoughtfully. It's just, we can put this here, and then maybe people will buy duplicates elsewhere.
Yes, that's true. And even, because I live, like my parents-in-law, they live right across this construction place. I saw a lot of interesting things, like, first of all, it was built in a very unbelievable speed. So there have been also like a lot of safety issues. Like Seoul published a report last week that they identified or they found 190 safety issues in this construction site. So yeah, but lots is trying to like, you know, not to get this too much into public.
Yes, right,
try to keep it down. Same was, there was a fire like some months ago. I saw a fire there in the 35th floor. It was a small fire, and the police, I heard when the firefighters came, then I looked out and then I saw like there was a fire up on the upper floors. And of course it takes a long time to get up there.
Yes.
And then to turn off the fire. And like, I watched it for over an hour, I think, until they really got control of this fire, in my opinion. But of course it wasn't that dangerous, like that the whole building would burn down or something, but still like it took a long time. And then afterwards I looked it up in the news and I couldn't find any big headlines about this or any like details report, not even any pictures, you know. I made
no
some
information.
No information, yes. So, or like the only information I found was like there was a small fire and it was taken control of within 30 minutes,
right.
And also the times have been totally wrong. But I was there like 30 minutes even before what the newspaper said was already, the firefighters have been already there and then trying to fight the fire and everything. But yeah, their lot is quite strong, and then
right.
They keep an eye on the press also, I think.
It is impressive how quickly a building can be built here, or any kind of project, a subway line, anything. But do you think Korea builds its projects too fast?
Like Korean culture is based on this, I think you heard about this Bali Bali.
Bali Bali, yes.
Bali Bali. You heard about, yeah. And not only about this, the second aspect is Daechung. Daechung means like some kind of, to make it not very detailed, to not maybe go into, like, make it like really like fit to the millimeter.
Right.
For example, like with the Germans, we are like all about perfection.
Yes.
To build it up, like it has to fit perfectly. It has to be thought, like even before you build it, the project has to be developed well and like well thought of.
Right.
And it's not like this in Korea. In like, it was even, I think, worse before, like decades ago, but it's getting better. But still, like, these two aspects, is Bali Bali and Daechung, are going to put a lot of problems and issues to the urban, like, to construction sites or urban development here.
Right. When you combine those two sensibilities, it causes trouble. And it's, do you see, how long would it take Korea to reach the level of precision that is now standard in Germany, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah,
maybe never, who knows?
I don't know if they aim at it, you know, if they first have to even try to aim like this kind of precision, and I'm not sure if they, I mean, in many aspects, there's also positive aspects about this, you know, to not go about too much details, you know, that projects are built fast, you know. Also, I mean, projects wouldn't live if they... Every project would take 20 years or 30 years in planning already.
You wouldn't have enough to write about.
Yeah, like, if I was write about German urban development, it would be like one post every 2 years, where I would write about 1 kilometer of added bike path somewhere. Yeah. That's all, like...
Right, it's a little bit similar in America for different reasons. Things are just politically very slow there. But when you're writing on Kojaks and you get into, I mentioned there's conversations that happen in the comments sometimes and you get feedback, what has been your experience with people who communicate with you when you write about a project? Do they have arguments to get into with you, or do they generally agree with you? What kind of conversations do you have as a result of what you write on Kojaks?
Usually then people focus on points I missed out. And I really love feedback. I love if people criticize me. I love it to read their comments and everything. I don't feel any like offended or anything like that at all. For example, when I wrote about Songdo, someone commented that this whole Songdo project was really bad for the habitats, and that some birds have been also like put in danger or in extinction even. Because of Songdo.
Right.
So, and then it's like areas I don't know anything about, like,
right,
like habitats and birds,
right,
or like migrating birds. So it was nice that somebody add up some other information or provides like links or some other articles.
In all the time you've spent, whether having conversations about Korean projects or experiencing them firsthand or writing about them, how has your perspective on Korean cities changed since the beginning, from the first time you saw Korean cities and were so impressed? How has your point of view changed since then?
Of course, it's different to experience it as a tourist and then to experience it as an exchange student to experience it as a real student now, or like as somebody who works here. Or
every degree, you get more and more involved.
Yeah, it's also the same with blogging, you know, it's like, if you begin to blog about something, you're more scratching on the surface at the beginning, and then later you get into details, and then at some point then you start to follow projects from the beginning up to the completion, to the completed. So yeah, that's changed a lot. Like, I learned more about to like put doubts on projects, to maybe like also, I try not to criticize them too much, because of course, like I said earlier, every large-scale project can be criticized a lot, but there's like many good aspects, and then it takes some time until the success can be seen. Yeah.
Now, what does your girlfriend, who's from Korea, think about the fact that you've gotten so deeply interested in the Korean built environment? You know, is that an interest she also has, or are you telling her things about the place that she lives?
At the beginning, she explained many things to me, and then, you know, she showed me around this place, some new places. But nowadays, it's me, like, who's leading and who says, oh, we have to go there to get the bus, or, you know, or I explain many things that she didn't know before. That's quite funny. And what I really am very grateful to her, and really thank her every time when we go on trips or somewhere. We do it with different kind of purposes, you know. She likes to just tour to go to new places, go shopping, or like to explore new areas. And I'm more than also exploring, but exploring from kind of urban planner view.
Right.
So if I say, oh, let's go to Songdo, and then she's not like, oh, what's there in Songdo? I don't want to go there. She's, oh, so yeah, let's go. Let's also want to go there. She likes to go to new places, so she's visiting them with me. And then her job is, she's a photographer, so she helps me with taking pictures of these areas. But usually, if you visit there, then she gives me her camera and then says, okay, you're it's like, you want to explore this area, so you should take the pictures, but then she just helps me with like settings or with, or like taking some other pictures, and then she's taking really good pictures also, like of this project. So some of the pictures on projects are made by her.
I see.
Better ones.
Now, doing your work on projects or your study, do you also have to have a lot of conversations with Korean people in Korean and reading Korean news sources, reading Korean language materials as well as talking to other foreigners who are sort of observers of the cities here?
I think what distinguishes projects from other blogs and experts scene is that we mostly rely on Korean sources. We look at what the Korean news articles write about the project or what the Korean master plan of project is, and that keeps us a lot of like advantage, I think, also.
Right.
We are very like, if we would have more time, then we would be also faster reporting about some stuff, but I think our posts are much more comprehensive, have much more information than other blogs.
Which Korean news sources do you keep up with? Do you read most often to stay educated on projects here?
The Ministry of Land and Infrastructure and Transport has a very good resource for projects in general. They have like all kind of blueprints and also plans on the development or like on master plans of areas. And yeah, just also like Google them, or like in Korea, your neighbor.
Don't use Google, your neighbor.
Yeah, your neighbor articles, and also like blogs. I look what Korean people wrote in their blogs, but usually they're not so many sources on me. I couldn't find any like real urban development blog in Korean.
There's nobody writing about like the urban development of Seoul in Korea?
There are people like writing about the neighborhood, for example, or about the area, but not about so general stuff.
That certainly has to help you master Korean if you're reading that many different Korean sources. I mean, how much of your learning of the Korean language has come directly from urban planning materials and blogs and things related to your subject?
I think a lot. These days, I also try to read Korean literature, but like last year or 2 years ago, yeah, I mostly know a lot of Korean vocabulary about related to transport and urban development, so like Chigebal or like Daejeongkyotong or something. I don't know, like, or like this vocabulary, I was totally at the great command of this one, so not so much great command of other vocabulary in Korean. So that's quite funny. Yeah.
Those of us learning the language, it's like we know mostly the vocabulary about what interests us, because that's the best way to study the language. But when you're exploring any city, are you mainly exploring it by bicycle, or what is your preferred way of understanding a city when you're just trying to get around and see how things work? Is it bicycling? Is it walking? How do you approach a city first?
I like to walk, because even, especially if you're in a car, you pass by a lot of areas, and on a bicycle, the speed is slower, but still you pass by a lot of areas, and then you don't have to look for the details. If you're walking, you can turn around easily, stop easily everywhere. Your pace is slow, so you can like grasp this whole feeling of this environment, of this project.
What's something you've discovered by walking here in Seoul that you didn't expect to find? Or the kind of thing you run across when you're walking, not even a specific thing, but an area that you can only really find by walking, the kind of thing that you might miss in a car or on a bicycle.
Walking is the best way to explore like this, like areas with a lot of pedestrians, and like Gangnam, I think if you go Gangnam Station, Gangnam Street, this area is the best way. Or like there are no bike paths at all there,
so yeah, it would be hard to bike there.
You have to walk around, and it's, if you walk, then you see more easier the signs on the on the sidewalk, for example, like what I showed you earlier, there's no smoking zones.
Yes,
or you can take a look at the bus stations, for example. You look like, because they now improved the standards of the bus stations in Seoul, so you can see like what new features did they include in these bus stations. Yeah, like these kind of things.
Now, I've mentioned, of course, the Seoul floating island where we've been sitting here this whole time, and we rode bikes here. It's hard to miss. You wouldn't pass by this without noticing it. Finally, what is the Seoul floating island, this project that we're here sitting on?
Yeah, like the names, it's about three floating islands.
They're not very big.
I mean, the names are a little bit strange. Like, islands are always floating more or less on the water. Anyway, you can imagine, like, you have three buildings and they're on the water. So, and it's called floating because they're not, they're really like floating on the water. They're, of course, fixed towards the shore and on the ground. What I've read earlier, it was proposed by a citizen of Seoul in 2006, and then the construction began in 2009. It was completed very fast in 2010, and like you have to imagine, they built up like a building and then put it into the water,
right.
Like some kind of, they built like a ship almost. You can
right.
See like a ship, which like is very great architecture. I like the designs of it, but it wasn't opened until recently. Because of the new mayor didn't really like this project.
Right. He doesn't like any kind of anything like this.
Yes, the maintenance costs are quite high for this for this floating island. So he first wanted to check if the city has the budget for it.
Right.
And he even wanted to disassemble it or destroy it, but it would have been even more expensive to do this. So he's now sticking to the original plans. Well, he made some adjustments. But it will be opened like a cultural facility, and opera writing will be built on. Will be opened. It's not yet.
Right. Still we're looking at the closed island over there, where you can see the construction notice, and that'll be something cultural.
Yes, one of three islands is open for now, and this is. We are sitting here at a coffee shop, and then there's a convention center up and a restaurant.
When everything opens, do you think you'll have much reason to visit Seoul Floating Island when it's all done? Other than to write about it for Kojex, which I'm sure you will.
Oh, if there's an interesting convention, if there's an interesting cultural event, then of course I'll visit here. It's also the thing, like, the accessibility of this area. You have bus stop here that's quite nice. You have a huge parking place, which is like the most favoring people coming by car. And walking here is quite difficult, I think.
It would be hard. It would take a long time.
Yeah, you can come here from, I think, what was it, Shinsa Station or Bampuyok Station is a 10-minute walk from here, so it's not the most convenient way to walk up from here.
A lot of it comes down to how well a project is connected, doesn't it? If a project is not well connected, like Songdo is not that well connected, the project will struggle. Is that true?
Yes, always true. Like, not only in Korea, all over the world, like this, you need good accessibility by public transport and good walkability and bicycle network is, of course, bicycle accessibility is a plus.
And we will soon be getting back on our bicycles to go on to the next place. But for now, for this hour, I've been sitting here on Seoul Floating Island with Nicola Medimurek. He is a writer at Kojex, which is a site just based around everything to do with Korean urban development projects and what's going on in Seoul and elsewhere. He's also a grad student here at the here in Seoul, here at Seoul National University. Nicola, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
This has been Notebook on Cities and Culture. I've been Colin Marshall. You can keep up with the cultural creators, internationalists, and observers of the urban scene on the show at colinmarshall.org. Thanks. And special thanks to all the backers of Notebook on Cities and Culture's Korea Tour on Kickstarter. Adam Hartzell, Aidan Nullman, Alfred Lee, Andy Cooney, Angus Gordon, Bala Chenupati, Cam Smith, Chin Music Press, Dan Caraselli, Danny, Deborah Smith, Emmett Ferriger, Umberto Grant, Ian Plosker, Ismail Kennessy, Jackie Gast, Jay Chang, Jeffrey Davis, James DeVito, Jonathan Filbert, Josh Padgett, Kimberly Hahn, Manveer, Mark Hines, Matthew Workman, Boreen Kincaid-Speller, Monica Eck, Michael Fransky, MJ Pritchett, Patrick O'Flaherty, Patrick Park, Piers Rippey, Robert Salzberg, Samuel Hansen, Sean Brown, Themistocles Chrysis, Thomas Unterberger, Timothy Dobbs, and Wayne Wright.